This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team who've worked on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Emerald Paston.
I'm Mike Raymond.
I'm Queenie Miller.
And I'm Jack Harris.
We'll be taking you through the big and not so big stories in the news this week when the TV show can't.
Think of it like this. If the main show is a Taylor Swift album launch, then we're a debut single from centrist dad.
Still waiting for it.
Yeah.
Remind me who centrist dad is?
Yeah, I don't want to say, Jack.
This is
if
the...
you say their name three times, they appear behind you.
Oh, no.
This is the band that was put together that featured Ed Balls and Robert Paston as their frontman.
Yeah.
Described online as a punk band, which I almost feel like the horrors of that description is enough. Do you know what I mean? I don't think you should see it.
Yeah.
We did feature them, didn't we, on the show once?
Yeah, we did. There was a video of them playing at like a very underwhelming, like a fair in probably in Notting Hill or something.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, we are centrist dad. And then like three people clap. Someone walks past holding a hot dog. It was every bit as underwhelming and disappointing as anything Ed Balls has ever done.
I know who's a massive fan of centrist dad, though. And unfortunately, she's not here this week, which sucks because I know how much she'd be able to tell us about their back catalogue. And all the time she's gone to see them live, but it's Queenie, unfortunately.
I could actually hear her eyes rolling in the back of her head as you said that from Edinburgh.
I remember reading something about George Osborne being on the edge of a mosh pit at a centrist dad's gig.
Oh, God.
The idea of George Osborne being near a mosh pit and the ability to push him in does suddenly make me want to go to one of their gigs.
I feel like if I see George Osborne on the edge of a mosh pit, it's because he's like absorbing their energy somehow.
Like a dementor, like sucking their souls.
Yeah.
Well, talking of distasteful, hard to watch political events, we should get into round one. And the big story in the news this week is, of course, President Trump's brave and courageous facing down of Putin at their meeting, which that was the alternative script. Of course, none of that happened. So instead, the world got subjected to a dictator measuring contest. Jack, what did we learn from the rumble in Alaska?
Trump's still quite a big fan of Vladimir Putin, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, like you said, a tough meeting with someone who invaded Ukraine. And he got an actual red carpet, a military flyover, and a ride in the beast.
Yeah,
I think Melania's the only one who's been allowed to ride in the beast in a while, isn't she?
Yeah, and she doesn't even want to.
Yeah, it's like, you know, in Japan where they try to fit as many people onto a train as possible. So they have those people who are just employed to just shove people on.
It's like when you're trying to get a Labrador into a bath and they're like putting their arms and legs out.
Put their arms out. What Labradors are these? Are they newly genetically engineered?
What do you call them?
Four legs. They've got four legs.
Well, front legs. Front legs.
Their front arms and their back arms. Yeah. That's what you call
it. Let's just keep it. Do you know what? I've had enough of experts. Let's just keep it simple. You with your physics, leeching into biology.
To be fair, we are talking about keeping it Trump speak. So you would have to say the arms and legs, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But I've just got a fantastic image of you now trying to get a Labrador into bath, Mike.
That seems to be.
Yeah, going, move your arms. bad dog. It's really interesting, though, how, to me, the biggest thing with it was how pleased Putin looked when they came out of their meeting.
Very smug smile.
Putin kind of came out of it with what he wanted. He didn't get made to have to deal with a ceasefire. Seemingly said, yeah, I'm happy to have peace as long as I get given a bit of this land.
And Trump looked pretty... It's interesting, isn't it? He's quite good at bullying weak, insipid leaders, you know, like Keir Starmer. people he can hold something over. He really leans into bullying them, like he did with Zelensky. And then when he comes up against an actual stone-cold bully, he just completely demures.
He is. He just, like, melts, doesn't he? I text you about this, Mike, but, like, there was a lot of very gentle hand-holding.
I saw that, the hand over his.
It looked like Trump was, like, rubbing a lotion into the top of Putin's hand. Oh. Like he was, like, you know, like a Boots shop assistant saying the benefits of some kind of, you know, Longcom number 7 or... Longcom number 7, what is it? I don't know what
just
it is.
Either number 7 or Longcom.
Hey,
one or the other.
Let's double it up. Just for Vladimir.
Hey, look, I feel less stupid about the front arms now.
But again, it was that thing of like, Trump really isn't that hard to play.
Yeah, totally.
He said that Putin was a smart guy, but literally because he just parroted back everything that Trump has said over the last 8 years or whatever. He said that the invasion of Ukraine wouldn't have happened if Trump was in power, which is like the most sycophantic thing you can say to someone, be like, I wouldn't have done it against you, you know?
Yeah.
And also saying that the 2020 election was stolen.
Did he say
because
that?
Because of mail-in voting. Yeah.
Wow.
And secretly he's like, slash, we also had a hand in all of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is classic Trump, though. Of Trump came out and said that Putin had said this to him. But, like, as we know from Trump, he genuinely could not have said anything like that to him at all.
Very true, very true. That's a good point.
The wording of it was suspiciously sounding like suspiciously something Trump would say. It didn't sound like something that had been potentially translated from Russian.
Yeah, actually, it just turns out Trump's translator is just telling him what he wants to hear. Vladimir Putin is saying that we need this region, we need this.
Yeah.
And basically the translator is saying, he's saying you're a big, strong, handsome boy. He's very clever.
And he wants you to rub lotion into his hands.
Yeah, he loves that lotion. His hands feel so soft.
Yeah. Emerald.
Yes.
I can't help but notice you've been developing an interesting theory in recent weeks about world leaders behaving like bitchy teenage girls. I wanted to know your thoughts. I mean, really intrigued by this.
Mm.
Where you stand on Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and how he fits into this pattern. Because there's some odd behaviour this week from him.
Yeah, there is some odd behaviour from him. In fact, some quite bratty behaviour, might I say. They're calling it trolling. He turned up to the summit wearing a sweatshirt emblazoned with CCCP, which is the Russian initials for the USSR, which is obviously no longer a thing. It was when they controlled a bunch of countries in their orbit. And this is a man who is 75 years old.
Yeah.
But also, I do think if he were clever enough, he would have done it in like brat green in the brat font. Like that would have been a cooler jumper. It's just a grey hoodie that he's wearing. But yeah, I feel like it's almost like if like David Lammy rocked up to a meeting with Modi wearing an East India Company t-shirt or something like that. It's that of level of like bad behaviour.
I wouldn't put it past some of our politicians. So basically, to sum up, your problem isn't the fact that he did that, it's the implementation.
Yeah, I think he could have done it better, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's almost like he didn't want to fully stick his neck out. Yeah.
I now can't stop thinking about East India Company merch. Like that, like an insane thing to go
it's
back
so
to.
True.
What was the other thing he did, Lavrov?
Yeah. So don't know if it was him that did it, but apparently on the flight over, the Russian party was served chicken Kievs, which in Russia, they're like, you know, saying they're eating up a Ukrainian dish. But I would say chicken Kiev is like a delicious Ukrainian dish. It's charmed the world. It's in everyone's frozen food aisles without having to, you know, send in the soldiers. I feel like Ukraine's winning.
I reckon they're being pretty pointed. I think they don't really do stuff by accident. But what I liked about the Kiev thing, you had a pro-Kremlin commentator who posted about it saying, there's no shortage of humour in the Kremlin.
I saw that.
I don't know, man. If you take the piss out of Putin, I'm pretty sure you'll find a big chunk of that humour in your cup of tea next time you get to it.
Yeah.
In the shape of some Novichok.
Yeah.
It comes in chunks, doesn't it, Novichok, I'm sure. You like sugar cubes.
Oh, do they release that kind of information? I didn't.
No, I don't.
Jack's just been doing a lot of research and is about to get a knock on the door. He's triggered a lot of keywords amongst home security.
I also looked up what Sergei Lavrov is like in general. And he's had some comments from past US administrations. So Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, said that he treated her like a jerk.
Oh, wow.
And several Obama administration officials described him as an anti-diplomat, said there was nothing redeemable about him, said he was uncharismatic, offensive, uncompromising, cruel, unlikable, brusque and caddish. So I really wonder what Putin sees in him. It doesn't sound like someone Putin would warm to.
But a great fashion sense, so.
It's so true.
He's gone retro. It's like Gen Z. He's been thrift storing around Moscow.
He puts up with him being mean just so he can see what great turtlenecks he's got to wear.
Statement tease.
So Trump's literal rolling out of the red carpet. This has emboldened Russia now, who say peace can only be achieved if it's handed the occupied Donbass region. So now Zelensky's going to try and save the day with a visit to the White House, or as I like to call it, the occupied dumbass region. That works.
That's
the thing.
That's the thing. It is now. It looked better written down. Now, I should point out, we're recording on Monday evening, so they're literally having the talks as we speak.
Mike, they're just about to take the family photo, according to the schedule.
Oh, wow.
The family photo. The
family photo is the EU leaders that I'm sure you're going to get onto are joining Zelensky over in the White House. As we started recording this, Zelensky was in his Oval Office meeting, which again, you know, the last time that happened, it was an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
But he was in his, what's been described as a suit-style jacket.
Interesting.
To counter the previous criticism of not turning up in a smart enough way to the Oval Office.
Yeah, meeting him halfway.
It's basically one up from, you know, one of his T-shirts that has a picture of a tuxedo on it.
He should have worn that. That would have been a great move to counter Lavrov's sweatshirt.
It was a fun clip that I would definitely show on the show, which is the same guy who was, when you asked him about the suit initially, opened his question and said, "Oh, you know, like, good to see you wearing a suit. It looks fabulous," all this sort of stuff. And Trump said that as well. But Zelensky pretty quickly said to him, "It's like, oh, it's funny because you're wearing the same suit you wore last time, aren't you?" And the guy,
they are mean girls.
Slam.
It really was Mean Girls.
I think everyone's had to learn to be a mean girl. Trump's brought mean girl energy. And now everyone's trying to. It's like Randy Newman, whatever he's called, the Californian governor.
Oh, Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom. Randy Newman's the Toy Story singer guy, right, isn't he?
It's not the same guy. But yeah, have you seen some of his tweets?
His press office stuff has gone mad, hasn't
it? Oh, my God.
They shared a picture of, like, Gavin Newsom sat down, like, in prayer, and behind him, there's Hulk Hogan.
It's like three right-wing American, like, celebrities who've all died, and they're, like, anointing Gavin Newsom.
What?
But he started putting out Trump style. So he put this out this week. "Not even JD Just Dance Vance can save Trump from the disastrous MAPS wars he started. Not even his eyeliner lines look as pretty as California map lines. He will fail, as he always does. Brackets sad, exclamation mark, close brackets. And I, the peacetime governor, our nation's favourite, will save America once again." It's just, and it's all in capitals. At least get your own calling card.
Just quickly on JD Vance, just a little story that we kind of covered a little bit of last week, but there's been an update on it. And that's David Lammy having to report himself for fishing illegally with JD Vance.
Yeah.
So
no!
All of these pictures.
Illegal?
He had to report himself to the Environment Agency because he had failed to acquire the necessary rod license. And you really wonder how people can possibly resist the glamour of politics when you hear those kind of stories of, like, the fact that he's had to apologise for saying, I didn't get my correct fishing licence. You think he must just be like, oh my God, I'm the foreign secretary. What the hell's going on? I've got to do this.
Well, he didn't catch anything, did he? So
no, maybe he should say, look, I didn't get anything, so why do I have to pay? That should be the way to
do it. I think J.D. Vance landed a few whoppers, but no fish.
Very good.
But yeah, so you've got that. So you've had this meeting. Zelensky wasn't hung out to dry. He was way more kind of appreciative and all that sort of stuff. And so we're going to see what happens. But it's the fact he's got support. There's a lot of talk about these seven leaders from these big countries, you know, the crack team from Europe who've joined him.
So did you say crack?
Yeah. As in, they are going to crack under the pressure of talking to Donald Trump. But, like, they all, like, say they've got unique abilities. And I was just running through them, and it's so funny to look at it, because it's like...
like the X-Men.
Well, it's like, you can imagine walking through the Rose Garden like Reservoir Dogs, except as soon as they see Trump, they just all become Mr. Brown.
What's Keir Starmer's? He's had his ears cut off, so he can't listen to any criticism for anyone.
No, he's got unrivaled ability to take splinters in the backside as the ultimate fence sitter. So, like, that's his thing. But you've got Macron, who does the phone calls with him, who does the Donald.
Oh, yeah. They have their
phone
nicknames.
Calls, which we talked about before.
He's just bringing sexy back, basically.
He's just stinking, like, the place French out chic with his cologne. Yeah, which kind
cologne
of Trump appreciates it. He's probably wearing Trump's 47th president cologne, which I think is a good shout.
Oh, my God.
You've got Mark Rutte, who called him daddy.
Yeah.
You've got Giorgia Meloni, who was the Italian prime minister, who also hates immigrants.
Yeah, and he loves her.
Perfect. They got to chat about that.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Finnish leader, and he's only there because he's really good at golf.
That is really? The reason,
yeah. Him and Trump play golf together a lot.
They play golf together, and he's really good at golf, so they're really good mates. And then it feels like Merz, who's the German leader, and von der Leyen are just there as, like, the sensible mum and dad.
Yeah,
who,
the
like,
parents in the room.
Just don't let anyone get too giddy.
They're there to close the bar on time and make sure the lights go on.
But he also posted, he said, "I've never had so many European leaders at one time." And you think, you would post about it, because it's physically impressive to have that many people up your backside simultaneously, isn't it?
Well, I was going to say, someone did have to get him to add in the word leaders there to make it factually accurate.
So many Europeans at one time.
Yeah. So it's going to take a diplomatic miracle from Europe's leaders, from this ragtag motley crew of inept bureaucrats, mm-hmm. to change Trump's mind on Russia. But Emerald, I understand you've got something that could help them.
I do. I mean, diplomatic miracle is stretching it. It's diplomatic something. I don't know if you saw this. There's been some attempts at diplomatic humour in the press recently.
Oh, my.
Basically, because the Edinburgh Fringe is on at the moment and there's no longer a funniest joke award. But Babbel, which is a language learning platform, they have arranged for a bunch of different ambassadors to share their own efforts to show how humour works in their countries.
Just very quickly, I'm actually on the ground floor, so can you give me time to go up a couple of stories so I can then throw myself out the window?
Are you ready for the jokes, is my question for you.
Allow
me. Are you ready for these diplomatic jokes? Okay, so a couple of them I actually didn't mind. So the Finnish ambassador to Britain. Mm. Okay, aside from the fact it's very formally phrased, his joke is, how does one spot an extroverted Finn?
I don't know. How does one spot an extroverted Finn?
In conversation, he stares at your shoes and not his own. Okay. Which I, at least is original. Okay. I haven't heard that before.
I want to hear a Finnish diplomat deliver that joke.
Yes. While staring at your shoes.
Yeah.
Is that just saying that everyone in...
Finnish people are very introverted. That is true. So
they're known for
like
keeping
that.
Their distance from each other. Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a football one, you guys. So,
oh, yeah, now you're talking.
The Slovakian ambassador says, what do Slovaks do when they finally beat England at football?
I don't know. What do Slovaks do when they finally beat England at football?
They turn off the PlayStation and go to sleep.
Because it's almost just too sucky-uppy. No thanks. Have pride in your nation, lads.
We're not that good at football.
Okay, this one, I really want you to help me work it out because I feel like I should be able to understand these jokes, but this one I do not understand at all.
This is always the best way to start a joke. Can you help me
work
it out?
This is the run-up into the joke.
Yeah.
Okay, so Estonia, they submitted a conversation between a driver and a hitchhiker. The hitchhiker says, is Tallinn far? The driver responds, no. The pair drive for a few hours before the hitchhiker, this is like a riddle, before the hitchhiker asks again, is Tallinn still far? The driver says, now it is. This feels like a maths problem.
It is quite funny. He's not going the right direction. That's
Jack,
the...
just give me a minute. I'll join you on the third floor. No wonder Trump and JD Vance just constantly slagging off Europeans if that's who they're meeting every time.
So true. I wonder what our joke would be that represents Britain and British humour. What is our, like...
Keir Starmer? We all...
Very good.
The only one I know is there's a Scottish joke which goes, man walks into a baker, says, is that a donut or meringue? He goes, no, you're right, it's a donut.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
I genuinely think that, like, an exported joke has to be Liz Truss. Like, as a genuine thing, like that.
If there was, like, a competition, we'd absolutely kill it because we do self-deprecation to, like, a world-class level. It's our greatest export. It's the only thing we really excel at.
Oh, we're not that good at it,
Mike. I don't think we're that good. Yes, Emerald, yes.
Welcome back to In the News This Week. It's time for round two now, where you've each brought a story from the past week that you think would work best for round two of the TV show. First up, Jack, what story have you got for us this week?
I saw this story and I messaged our producer and we almost at exactly the same time text each other to say, yes, this is going to wind up Mike no end. So I can't wait to do it.
Oh, God.
I am covering a story that Cambridge Dictionary has added new words. They added 6,000 words, but there's a couple that got the attention of the papers.
They've added 6,000 words?
6,000 words added. So trad wife. Mm-hmm. Have you heard this before, Mike?
Am I a trad wife?
No, I feel like you'd be Googling them.
It's a shortening of traditional wife, and it's a big social media trend where you have married mothers who cook, clean, and post their lifestyle on social media.
They're modern enough to use iPhones, though, so I think they're not really committing to the bit enough, personally.
So just anyone, like, not born in the last 15 years, it's just them recording how they behave.
No, it's young people, too.
It's like, I'm providing for my man who's off working and, like, earning the bacon, and I'm going to produce 15 children for him and cook and do all this whilst making sure I look good for him when he comes home, sort of
thing. Which, obviously, if you want to do, absolutely fine. but hopefully people don't feel pressured to.
Is it a bit of a criticism if you call someone a trad wife?
I think it's like a trend, but there's been some criticism that it's like kind of going back and a bit old school.
Would a trad wife marry a centrist dad?
Probably not. I think a centrist dad probably wouldn't expect a trad wife.
But he would love it.
Secretly love it.
Yeah, he would secretly love it.
Mike, yeah. I think you're going to be happy to hear that the word skibbity has made it into the dictionary.
Oh, no.
Now, I've made a little game here. I'm going to ask, wow. Is this the correct use of the word skibbity?
I was going to say, is that the guy from the Magic Roundabout?
That's
Zebedee.
Yeah.
I'm calling it skibbity or skibbity.
It should be skibbity or skibbidone.
There we go.
Oh, wow.
100% taking that on.
I just want to say, I don't think the third floor is high enough for this game. I'm taking to the shard.
I'm going to nick Emerald's naming. Skibbity or skibbidone is so much better.
Okay. Can I just say skibbidone?
No, you have to answer. An example. Example one. Mike, what the skibbity are you doing? Is that correct or incorrect use of the term skibbity?
Sorry, do I know you? Can you leave me alone? I haven't got any change.
Okay, next one.
No, what is what? Is
you need like, to say if it's the correct usage of the word.
No, that can't be. That's skibbity.
It is a correct use of it. Okay, no. Next one. Emerald.
How is it? How is it the correct use of
Mike,
it?
Okay, stop. Ooh, come clear. Emerald, you have skibbity riz.
Oh, correct. Correct.
Correct.
Usage.
Well done, Emerald. That's very good. Mike, that jumper is skibbity. Shall we do the skibbity dance?
Oh, my God. None of that is correct. None of that is.
It's all correct.
Skibber, don't ever talk to me like that again.
You're wrong, Mike. It is correct.
So basically, you just take the word skibbity and you put it anywhere in a sentence.
Stop. No, wait. Okay.
I'm furious.
Emerald, yeah. How the skibbity do I use the word skibbity in this skibbity sentence?
No. That's correct.
It's all correct, like it. Yeah.
Is it just okay. Replacing the F word? Is it just replacing that?
And then, Mike, the last one for you. Yeah. What? That guy in the dictionary? You have to be skibbidding me.
That's... I quite like that. That was the best one yet.
That is the incorrect use. That is incorrect.
Mike. Like,
well, that was, so that was the best one.
Because it had some... Amateur. Something.
I let me have a go.
You call yourself a wordsmith. Go on, Mike.
I skibbity hate this skibbity. Stick it up your skibbity skibbity.
That's great, yeah.
I mean, pretty much, right? The dictionary definition of skibbity, a word that can have different meanings such as cool or bad or can be used with no real meaning as a joke. So you want to know, obviously, the origins of skibbity. I'm going to read you out the exact thing that they wrote in the papers, which is, the term is derived from a song used in the viral Skibbity Toilet YouTube short series in which an animated head spins in a toilet.
This is literally seeing the death of the human race before my very eyes. It's like
the origins is actually from a thing called Skibbity Toilet, and it's essentially just what they now call brain rot, which is basically when young people go to just watch something which just is completely mindless.
Mm.
Which is, to put into context for you, Mike, imagine tuning into PMQs for 24 hours. But you're under the age of 24.
I like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That would really prime.
Your brain would just end up liquid and just falling out your ear.
When the first MP says skibbity in Parliament, it's over.
It's not going to be long.
Yeah. Oh, joking. It's going to be Ed Davey, isn't it? Mm. What was it? The video was a spinning head in a toilet.
He'll do it to talk about the like sewage crisis. He'll do it to talk about water companies.
He'll turn up as a spinning head in a toilet. Definitely. And go, I skibbity don't back this motion.
They've got a lot of stick, right? But they're talking about the fact that it's like internet slang, all this sort of stuff. But yeah. The Cambridge Dictionary spokesperson told the BBC that they only added words which they believed could stand the test of time, which skibbity to stand the test of time. Personally, I think he's completely delulu.
Mike, do
is
you
that
understand?
A thing?
I thought another word they're adding, delulu, as in delusional, which I actually really love.
Mike thought you'd been cut off there, Jack. He thought you hadn't finished.
Actually, you both just were staring at me like, and I was like, am I supposed to?
But the best thing, we talk about Ed Davey using it. Delulu actually happened because the Australian Prime Minister in Parliament this year said that his opponents were delulu with no salulu. Which is delusional without a solution. Which I absolutely love delulu.
Do you know, I never thought I'd say this, but I can't think of a time I've enjoyed a round two less.
Oh, no.
Okay, next up, Queenie, who sent us in a voice note from Edinburgh. follow that. Let's hear what she's got to say.
Hello, everyone. I'm terribly sorry to be missing this week's episode, but I have brought a round two story for you. Researchers at Nanyang Technological University have developed a robotic assembly line to convert living Madagascar hissing cockroaches into fully functional cyborg units. I'm just going to say that again. Living cockroaches into cyborg units. I'm convinced this is where we got Elon Musk from, but they say that they could serve as miniature searchers in like disaster zones, navigating tight rubble spaces that are inaccessible to humans or larger robots. But it's mad. How the machine works is that the insects are anesthetized and placed inside a machine that analyzes the cockroach's body. A robotic arm mounts a lightweight electronic backpack onto the cockroach. It's just like everyone walking into the House of Commons. The backpack includes electrodes that are then used to stimulate nerve signals to steer the cockroach left or right. I hate to be someone to make a reference to Rick and Morty, but this is Pickle Rick. They're pickle ricking cockroaches.
I got that reference.
The whole process takes 68 seconds per cockroach, as compared to anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour when performing the same task by hand. One of the scientists quoted, "Our innovation makes the dream of deploying large numbers of cyborg insects in real life scenarios far more practical." The dream. Whose dream? Sorry, Dick Dastardly's dream. The exact quote of, as to why they're using live cockroaches instead of just little robots is that they don't want to go into the time and trouble of creating little robots from scratch. It's not as if you're scientists. It's not as if you're doing anything else. You should probably go into the time and trouble to do that. That's your whole job. Anyway, I'm not mad because it's a very inventive way to take over the world. And that's what I'll be doing in the meantime between now and the next podcast. I'm going to be assembling my army of little robotic cockroaches.
Oh, God.
And we're going to start a new party called Reform 2. And it's going to be exactly the same as Reform 1. Bye.
Oh, that's great.
Wow. Did you hear the thumping noise in the background? It sort of sounded like her cockroach army marching.
No.
It was like a little boom, boom.
It's a literal Kafka-esque nightmare.
I think they're just testing out these little backpacks for humans, obviously, aren't they? So
yeah.
I want to know, are the cockroaches wearing the backpacks on one shoulder or two shoulders? Because that depends how cool they are.
What's cool
definitely
now?
Definitely both shoulders, man. Definitely both shoulders.
I think both shoulders is more acceptable now than it used
to be. Yeah, it's
gone
back around.
It's never cool to wear it on both shoulders.
Oh. I was always a two-shoulder boy. Always a two-shoulder boy.
And as if to prove my point. So two absolutely horrendous round twos there from Jack and Queenie. Emerald, can you redeem us, redeem the show?
I can, with the world's greatest love story.
Oh,
so don't
yes,
you worry, Mike.
Oh, wow.
So in Estonia, they have done a production of Romeo and Juliet using a cast of trucks, excavators, concrete mixers, fire engine and a bulldozer.
That is amazing.
So, this was a company called Kino Theatre, and they put on a production of Romeo and Juliet in a quarry. A red Ford pickup took on the role of Juliet, and her Romeo was a rally truck, which I guess isn't an obvious pick for the role because surely an Alfa Romeo should have been that role.
I think the opposite would be like a bike.
A bike, yeah.
An environmentalist on a bike.
Dost thou rev thou engine at me?
Well, there was no dialogue in it. It is literally the vehicles acting.
Are we sure that the Guardian theatre critic didn't just accidentally go to a demolition derby in Estonia?
Take it too seriously.
And just got a bit carried away.
Yeah.
A bit more literal than literary.
Yeah. They recreated the sword fight between Tybalt and Mercutio, but how do you think they did that?
Ooh.
Parallel park off?
Did they? You know, on old cars, you can twist the wash for your windscreen. And you can turn it so that when you do the water, it fires in the opposite direction. So they were just sort of like firing at each other.
No, that would have been a very explicit love scene, I think, Jack. sorry. So they recreated this sword fight by having two excavators wave their mechanical arms at each other threateningly, which I think you'll agree sounds very dramatic.
Did they say how they did the poisoning?
They
put diesel into a petrol car.
They should have done. They didn't say
then,
it in the...
But then Juliet peels off the sticker and she has actually been using a petrol pump the whole time.
See, it does sound quite emotional. The spectators really enjoyed it. One of them said it was really sweet and cute. Like when you had the scene where the cars were, you would assume, kissing, the energy was captured really well, the sweetness and the love. So I think she's maybe one step away from being the sort of person Channel 4 make documentaries about. But
yeah, yeah. She's gone even further. She's Channel 5 documentary worthy.
Never go full Channel 5.
I haven't seen Crash, but I assume it is this sort of thing.
Yeah.
But in any case, I am looking forward to their upcoming plays, which I assume include the airborne spectacle of Much Ado About Boeing, the mundane realism of the ghosts in Tramlet, and maybe also the comedy of errors, which is just one Cybertruck on stage for 90 minutes. And that's my story about trucks.
Now, that's great. Of the three stories, that was the least worst this week. Okay. So well done, Emerald.
Thank you. It was Skibbity then. My story was Skibbity. Queenie's was one level up, and that was Skibbity. And then Emerald's was at the top, so it was Skibbity.
I think that's time for a break. Okay, finally, it's time for round three, the missing words round. I'm going to read out some headlines from the past week, and you guys just need to fill in the missing words. And we start with Rachel Reeves to use bats and newts to what?
Feed the animals at a Danish zoo. I'm sorry, I can't get that story out.
I genuinely did Google it to see if there was a third weekly update, but it's been quiet.
Worryingly quiet.
Is it Rachel Reeves to use bats and newts to distract reporters when asked about autumn budget?
She's going to throw bats and newts at them.
Just throws them out and runs away.
The answer is Rachel Reeves to use bats and newts to speed up house building.
They're getting new skills, are they? Fantastic.
They're putting little backpacks on them.
The bats will do the loft, obviously.
And obviously they can work at night, newts can work in the day. So yeah. 24-hour service.
Good with a water feature. It makes perfect sense. Now, this is the news that the Chancellor is to make it harder for people to use nature concerns to block construction projects. Yay! Especially when it comes to wild newts. A slippery endangered species that's bad for economic growth.
Here we go.
Rachel Reeves has been Chancellor for a year.
Yes, please.
Next, Iceland to deal with shoplifters with bold new policy that what?
Iceland deal with shoplifters with bold new policy that makes none of their produce edible.
So where's the change?
Nah, don't knock Iceland, man. Love it.
Are you a fan of the prawn ring?
I'll happily eat a prawn ring. And also make sure I've got 3 days off afterwards just in case anything goes wrong.
Oh, God. New policy that gives them directions to the nearest Lidl instead?
Can explain that it's much easier to shoplift from there. Now, the answer is Iceland to deal with shoplifters with bold new policy that gives a reward to customers who report shoplifters.
Oh, it's the Kemi Badenoch way of doing things.
Yeah. And do you know how much you would get rewarded for taking the risk of reporting a shoplifter?
Is it a black eye?
you definitely will get money. It's £1.
Now, what you do, right, is you report yourself. You pretend you wear a moustache.
A moustache?
Yeah. A what?
A moustache?
What would you wear? A moustache?
Is that the new phrase for the dictionary?
Say it. Moustache.
Moustache.
Moustache. Moustache. Moustache. I suppose you'd still get arrested, wouldn't you?
I think maybe Jack's been staying from Iceland and he's been frozen in carbon. His brain's been frozen. We posted this missing word on our social media channels, and congratulations to Jeff Trevor on Instagram.
Is that one person or two people doing the same thing?
Genuinely, that was like going from my head and it stopped me. I was like, mate, pick a lane. It's one or the other. Incidentally, don't trust people who have first names as surnames. And I stand by that. Congratulations to Jeff Trevor on Instagram, who made us laugh with their response when they said, Iceland to deal with shoplifters with bold new policy that freezes their assets.
Very good.
Good work.
So follow Have I Got News For You on Instagram and Twitter so you can enter our missing words round when we post another one next Tuesday. And finally, footballer who was trolled online responds by what?
I've got a trolley suggestion.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Footballer who's trolled online responds by spending 2 hours typing a four-word response.
Oh, wow. Wow. Brutal. First you came for the Scots.
Wait, when did I do that?
A couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I just wanted to remind everyone.
Yeah, there's always sat in front of a big tartan kilt.
Trying
punishment.
To win their hearts back.
Yeah.
I can't believe we haven't mentioned this yet, but yeah, Emerald is in Edinburgh and she is sat. Actually makes me think you're not in Edinburgh because you're trying too hard. Emerald is sat in front of a giant picture of a kilt.
I demand it in any room I visit.
Excellent.
Is it football who's trolled online responds by wearing new Nigel Farage football shirt? I put my order in. Have you guys?
Nigel Farage football shirt. Is that an actual thing?
Have you not seen this?
No.
No. The shirt, it's got Farage 10 on the back.
Oh, my God.
It's got Reform Party on the front. It's in lovely turquoise and white. £40, or you can pay £99.99 for a signed one, signed by Nigel himself.
Oh,
and you'll be
God.
Pleased to know he put it out with the press release. We are Reform FC and I'm proud to be its manager. What a season we're having. We're right at the top of the leaderboard. Classic football speak.
I see. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing it again. We're getting all the points.
And we are kicking these goals.
We're converting all the goals.
By God, we got one of the best sixes this week from one of our excellent player with the legs.
This all sounds like classic commentary to me.
Yeah. This is me and Mike when you first log on to the podcast, Emerald.
Yeah.
No, the answer is a footballer who was trolled online responds by scoring a free kick on her debut.
Wow.
But I thought it was a good story because this is 16-year-old Sky Stout.
Oh, yeah.
She was subject to abuse online on social media this week because she signed for Kilmarnock FC in Scotland. And in the announcement, they put a picture off of her and swarms of gammony men took to Twitter and Instagram to make fun of her acne to the point that they took the post down. But Sky's had the last laugh. She's been publicly supported by a number of big names in the game, including Scottish legend Ali McCoist. And then she rounded off the week by scoring on her debut in a 6-2 win. So I'd say good on Sky. And
skibbity to her.
And also skibbity to them, to the men who did it.
Like you nailed it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm learning. The machine's learning. I'm like a cockroach with a backpack. I'm 21st century, baby.
You're the world's slowest AI, Mike. Sorry.
Thank you for listening to In The News This Week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
For updates on the show, make sure you're following Have I Got News For You on Instagram, TikTok and Twitter.
You can also get in touch with us by emailing podcasts@hattrick.com. That's Hattrick with 2 T's.
Make sure you're followed or subscribed to the podcast wherever you're listening to it now, and we'll see you here for next week's episode.
Time to say bye.
Skibbity bye.
I knew that was going to happen.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.